Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joyous feast.
Joyous feast.
We find ourselves in the midst of the feast of the Nativity of the Virgin Mary, of the Holy Theotokos. At the same time, we are approaching the feast of the cross, and therefore we hear this morning, the Sunday before the cross, the reading from Galatians and the reading from the Gospel according to St. John. St. Paul stresses in his letter to the Galatians that it is not circumcision or uncircumcision that counts as far as our relationship to God goes. It is the cross that makes a difference. And through the cross comes the new creation. This is how he is completing his letter to the Galatians, that through the cross the new creation comes. In the Gospel according to St. John, we hear about divine love, how God, because he loves the world, he gives the world, he gives us his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to pay attention to the word give. St. John doesn't record that God sends his Son, that God offers his Son, that God lends his Son. He gives his Son to the world. The Son of God belongs to us. The Son of God enters the world, and in and through his entrance into the world, in and through, he is taking on our sin, our mortality. There emerges, there begins, there appears the new creation. Having said all of this, I want to ask a question that might seem silly, but nevertheless, I think it's worth asking. How is all that I have said related to the birth of the Virgin? We don't hear about the Virgin in Galatians 6. We don't hear about the Virgin in John 3. What is the connection? Or, let's begin. Is there a connection?
Yes.
Okay, so we agree on that. There is a connection. What is the connection? It is something I try to develop on Friday. Friday's liturgy.
The Virgin is what humanity has given to God.
The Virgin is what humanity gives to God. And so how can we expand this? How can we put more flesh on this? God loves the world that he gives us his Son. God loves the world to the extent that his only begotten Son takes on our sin and death, that he ascends Golgotha. All of this is possible in and through human cooperation, in and through the desire of the human being to have a relationship with God, and this relationship, this cooperation, this synergistic enterprise between God and humanity is supremely revealed in and through the Virgin. She is, as I tried to stress last week, she is the greatest offering of humanity to God. It is in this offering to God that God is able to send us his Son so that his Son can enter into the world for the life of the world and its salvation. It is in and through the Virgin that the Son of God takes on our humanity. It is in and through the Virgin that the flesh of Christ, the humanity of Christ, is woven. It is in and through the Virgin that the curse of creation is removed. what is the curse of creation? Death. Death. Until the birth of the Virgin, and this exists in Orthodox tradition, it exists in hymnody, it exists in other writings, until the birth of the Virgin, humanity had only death to look forward to. Until the birth of the Virgin, indeed, life was destined to literally a dead end. The birth of the Virgin releases us, frees us from the curse of barrenness, the curse of death. The birth of the Virgin makes possible the Son of God to come into the world for the life of the world and its salvation. Now I want to stress again, as I tried to stress on Friday, God's love for the world can only be revealed, can only be manifested if there is a human desire, a human response. In other terms, our salvation, God's care for the world, the divine economy. This is a very important, believe it or not, economy is a theological term. It's not just a term for accountants and those who are in finance. What does economy mean?
Household order.
Household order. Yes, keeping order within the house. And in this case, God keeps order in his creation in that the humanity that he has created in his image and likeness works with him, cooperates with him. Salvation is not a unilateral, is not a divine unilateral enterprise. Salvation is a divine human activity, is a divine human work in which the order of the world, the restoration of the world, the recreation of the world, the renewal of the world, the sanctification of the world, the transfiguration of the world takes place. This is, keep in mind, how this is our great and high calling as human beings, to cooperate with God, to work with God. Indeed, in and through the Virgin, new life comes into the world. In and through the Virgin, God's love is seen in the incarnation, in the taking on of our human nature through the Virgin. But it doesn't end here. The work of God doesn't end here. It continues here and now through us. How? Is this just rhetoric? Is this just Orthodox rhetoric, which we are, let me assure you, very good at dishing out? Or is it more? And if it's more, how is it more than just rhetoric? The new creation is to be manifested in and through us. And as we've said many times before, the new creation begins to appear in this gathering, in this celebration of the Eucharist. But this gathering, the integrity of this gathering, the reality that this gathering is indeed a prefiguration of the new and eternal kingdom, the integrity of this gathering is dependent on one fundamental aspect of our life. What is that? One fundamental aspect of the Christian life. And here we can go back to the letter to the Galatians. Our ability, yes, our ability to cooperate, to work with God, our ability to make real the presence of God is in and through the cross. Now let's just, as we conclude this homily, let's just reflect on the Virgin for a moment. What is the cross of the Virgin?
The death of her son?
The death of her son, but I don't, yes, yes, absolutely. But there is Golgotha before Golgotha with the Virgin.
Complete self-emptying, obedience to God.
So there is obedience to God, and what is the outcome of this obedience to God? Yes, she will give birth to the Son of God, the pre-eternal Word, the Son of God, will be born through her. What follows this? In the accounts that we have in the scripture about the Virgin, what can we learn about her cross? First of all, think of this. She is a mother, and yet, virtually from the beginning, with the appearance of the Magi, she knows that she will have to give up her son, that she will not have a relationship with her son as other mothers do. And yet, simultaneously, she holds a relationship with her son that no other human being has, in that it is through her that her son is, that the Son of God is incarnate. So, the first sign of her cross is the giving up of her son, the giving up of her son to the world. What else is part of the Virgin's Golgotha?
At times she wondered if her son would be behaving like that.
So what would that? How would we condense that? Doubt. The Virgin is afflicted with doubt. Is this absolutely true? Is it possible that I can give birth to the pre-eternal Word and Son of God? Is it true that this Son, my Son, will conquer sin and death and usher in the new creation? We hear the words of Simeon the Elder in the temple telling the Virgin that a sword will pierce her heart. This sword is related precisely to doubt. Doubt that all of us who wrestle with the reality of Christ, who wrestle with the reality of Christianity, inevitably surfaces. How else can we describe the Golgotha of the Virgin?
I mean, her son does things like run away to go preach in the temple and keep.
Yes, that's just exactly it. Her son disappears, and where does he disappear to? To the temple in order to teach. Whose temple is this? It is his father's temple. And he, as he is preaching about the law and the prophets, he is showing himself to be the new temple. The Virgin has her Golgotha. We too, if we are to enter into an intimate relationship with the living God, we have to also ascend our Golgotha. And where does our Golgotha begin? Actually, it begins with the Virgin as well. Where does our Golgotha begin? How does our Golgotha begin? Through repentance. The Virgin is the personification of what St. John the Baptist says when he sees the Lord at a distance. Does anyone remember this scene, what St. John says about himself in relationship to Christ? I must become less so Christ, the Master, can become more. The Virgin reveals this. She becomes less. She gives up her motherhood so her son can become more, so that her son can indeed fulfill the will of his father. And becoming less is the beginning of repentance. The virgin becomes less. We are called to become less. We are called to repent. We are called to change our direction, our orientation. Repentance. Metanoia is the change of mind, but there's another word for repentance in Greek, epistrepho. Epistrepho, as I've mentioned many times before, is not primarily a change of mind, it is a change, physical change of direction. My orientation must change. And what is this change in orientation? I move from myself towards God. I indeed, if I become less, then I move towards God and move away from my selfishness, from my self-centeredness. And in that process, a relationship, a new relationship with God begins. We are drawing near to the Feast of the Cross, dear brothers and sisters. If this cross is to be more than a decoration, if it is to be more than something we hold and kiss, then we have to enter into this dynamic of repentance, of becoming less so Christ becomes more. We must enter this dynamic of repentance so that indeed the word of Christ can be heard clearly. We become less so the power of Christ, not my power, not your power, but the power of Christ, the healing, saving, comforting, renewing, transfiguring power of Christ can be given to everyone. We become less so that indeed the new creation can be seen in our faces, in our way of life, in our care for each other, in our care and concern for the creation. So indeed, what we celebrate, not only today but all the time, reflects our great and high calling as those created in the image and likeness of God. Amen.